This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski, he spikes with emphasis.
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart is your source for the latest news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Smith from the gun, under pressure across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and it's the rookie Logan Ryan on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Patriots!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500, or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Shotgun snap to Taylor, eludes him, and careens into the end zone, and Chandler Jones picks it up, and Chandler Jones has a touchdown.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart here with you for the next 2 hours. Talking about a 34-9 win today for the Patriots as they move to 9-2 with their win over the Lions, who are now 7-4.
Told you the Lions didn't have a chance.
34-9, Andy, as Paul and I told you
didn't
prior
have a chance.
To this game.
Tim
didn't
20
think
was
this
right.
One was going to be much of a game. And you know what? My gut feeling on the Lions offense, which was I just don't trust them to do much. They got 3 field goals. It probably should have been more. What's with the kicking of the 3rd field goal? Will someone explain that to me at that point in the game? Why
no
you're
idea.
Still kicking field goals? You can't win the game kicking field
yeah,
goals.
I don't want to get sidetracked on, you know, ripping the other team's strategy.
Is, now he's going to tell you why he should have kicked it the next time.
why wouldn't you kick the next one? Well, so that gets you within 2 scores on the next one, right?
Right.
He's a bad coach.
It was actually kicked the first one. That's a good point,
you
Paul.
Kicked the first
I didn't
one,
think about it.
Which makes no sense whatsoever.
Right.
Now you get down there again for a 4th down, and you go for it instead of kicking the field goal, and Stafford ends up sliding short of the first down. You could have gotten within 2 scores.
It's just...
I mean, it wouldn't have mattered, but just talk about just flying by the seat of your pants, clueless
as,
coaching on the sideline.
As Dennis Green would say... They are who we thought they were.
And I think as Lions fans would say, you know, Tim Twentyman was saying they were sort of cautiously optimistic, but they were still waiting for a performance to sort of give them legitimacy. I think they realized they don't have any legitimacy today.
None.
Now aside
None.
From all those times they just didn't cover anybody, defensively I thought they did some nice things.
There were times where they just didn't cover people, though. You know what,
no,
though?
There was a handful of plays that they just flat out, and it wasn't like coverage breakdowns. It was... By design, they had coverage slanted a certain way, and guys were just left uncovered.
Yep.
They didn't have to win this game to prove that, you know, they're legitimate. They needed to compete in this game, and they really didn't.
Nope.
Didn't.
Yeah, I would say from about halfway point of the second quarter, it lacked competitiveness for the rest of the way.
And from an entertainment value standpoint, if you were a neutral observer of this game, I don't know how you were able to stomach it for the last, I don't know, 90 minutes of real time.
And it wasn't even really that much fun if you were a Patriots observer.
And no, I know, but I'm saying at least you're into it because it's your team.
Because the Patriots offensively sort of stagnated in the second half,
right.
So you didn't even have, you know, the...
fun and the numbers
yeah,
and the Broncos.
You know, you had 24 points at half, and you were sort of gifted the last 4 on a penalty. Otherwise, it would only have been 6 in the second half. And they didn't really move the ball all that effectively in the second half. So, yeah, you didn't even get that, you know, that entertainment value going, but this was a game that was well in hand, you know, like I said, from the second quarter on.
So to get in touch with us and talk about this game, the number for you is 855-PATS-500. That's the North American toll-free number, 855-PATS-500, which means we're going to need Andy to provide, which he hasn't done in some time now. Seems like it's
I have
weeks.
Been, and see...
That's why we haven't had good games to talk about, because you've been neglecting your duties.
Well, and I also feel bad because sometimes... You know, we think about it as a day game here, but it's not a day game everywhere, a night game here. You know, we need to think that we are global, and time zones are different everywhere. And we need to give opportunities for all of our global
time
listeners.
Time zones are different everywhere. Yep, that is...
I'm going to ask our regular listeners to step aside.
So what do you want? Where are you looking? Give me a target zone.
Do we have anything in, I don't know, South America?
South America. We do not have anything in South America. Remember, the Brazilians are not happy? The Brazilians want one and they don't
okay,
have one?
Okay, we have nothing in South America.
Why don't we shoot more towards Europe?
Yeah, let's say,
Because what? Europe, it's like 10 o'clock.
Do we have a number in France?
France. Oui, oui.
Vive la France.
Yeah.
We had one, but it quit.
Oh, and it smells bad. Oh, 8. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, 8. Oh, oh, 9-1-2-3-8-4. That's 0-800-912-384.
That's kind of an easy one to remember.
I'm a little disappointed.
What? You wanted my O face?
Yeah.
Oh. It starts with that.
It was oh, and you didn't say it.
Well, I don't want to, you know, beat a dead horse, go to the well too many
times.
Well,
we haven't done it in like a month.
Wait a minute. You don't want to beat a dead horse?
Erin Andrews interviewing Tom Brady on the field right now.
She's pretty.
Somewhere Giselle's like, you get away from that man.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
Let's get to the good, the bad, and the injured from today's game.
Oh, there you go.
Let's do that.
The good, the bad, and the injured. The good.
Hit the button.
All right, it's time.
The bad.
Time for the good.
And the injured.
Let's do it.
The bad.
All right, I'll say good.
And a 3, 2, 1.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
Yeah.
Injured.
I've fallen.
Yeah.
And I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show.
At that point, I would have just gone right to the do circus music.
We're all jammed up back here.
Yep, that's the one you should have done.
All right.
Where are we starting? Darrell, whatever his middle name is, Revis Island, I thought was phenomenal today. You know, we talked early about the matchups. They went with Browner on Calvin Johnson, Revis on Tate. Tate had a little bit of success early, had a screen pass where he got a block, made some plays. But the rest of the day, I thought Darrell Revis was pretty awesome. Knocked away that touchdown on Calvin Johnson, knocked away a couple other passes. This just did Darrell Revis pretty damn good.
Darrell Shavar Revis.
Ooh, Shavar.
Good call, Beetle.
There you go.
Good show prep.
Thank you.
Lost in a game that wasn't really competitive. Huge.
Did you Google that quickly?
Huge third down.
That's impressive.
Huge third down in the first drive of the game. Lions put together a pretty good-looking drive. Golden Tate had a couple of catches, and then they go to him on third down, cutting across the field. Tremendous diving deflection for Darrell Revis.
Yep.
Which I think set the tone for a lot of big plays in the secondary. And Andy, should I let you talk about him since you've been the most critical of him?
There's a lot of a-holes on Twitter that ignore when I tweet out that Brandon Browner had his best game as a Patriot today. And then they say, oh, what's a-hole? And then they include him in it so that like they're trying to churn something up like I'm the a-hole who's going to say he's still bad. I thought he had his best game as a Patriot. Wasn't as perfect, you know, wasn't as good as Revis, but he's not Revis. I thought he was really good, really physical, around the ball, tackled. You know, I thought Darrell Revis and we talked about it. Those are two good weapons, and they shut them down. They made sure that those two weapons did not beat them on the day. And if they're going to continue to play like that, they got a chance.
Darrell Revis' best game today as a Patriot. I couldn't agree more with Andy. I thought he was terrific.
I think that's the biggest takeaway from this game. I think everyone who watched this game, you had to have noticed Darrell Revis in this game. His best game as a Patriot. He is trending upward. Offensively, how about Brandon LaFell? What do you guys think of this player? Every week I watch something that Brandon LaFell does, and I think this guy is working, this guy fits, this guy is a good player. This was a good signing.
Yeah, I think he's
really good signing.
Rolled into a complimentary player on this offense who can, first of all, I'm now just going to call him the drive starter. Brady likes to go to him to start drives. He did it a couple more times today. The one thing I would say, well, we'll get to that later. We'll put that in the bad with the rest of the team.
Okay.
But, I'm done with Brandon LaFell. He was good.
I
think Brandon LaFell could fall into all three of these categories today for some of the reasons.
Different things. Yeah. For different things. If I had to pick which way to go with him, I'm
picking
the good.
He could go into all three categories today. But I agree. He's been a terrific addition. I think we talk about it every week. They needed a different kind of receiver, one that could get some production outside the numbers, and we've seen it. He's a bigger target on those slants that he's effective at. He's been... Just what the doctor ordered. He's been very good.
And he likes to cut back to the outside, I've noticed. He's the anti-Aaron Hernandez.
He's pretty good after the catch.
Yeah.
He makes some plays after the catch.
A bit formulaic, but...
Formulaic.
What else we have?
I would put, you know what, we used to have a term around here. It was called the Dan Klecko sack. Mm-hmm. It was when you went unblocked and had a sack.
Like Ninkovich?
Now I'm going to, no. Now I'm going to call them the Tim Wright touchdowns.
Oh.
When you go uncovered, you should catch touchdowns. And twice today, he just ran into the end zone, turned around, and Brady said, wow, there's no one near you. I'll throw you the ball. Touchdown.
Well, they're getting more involved, Andy. I don't know if you know.
No, they're not.
Point
shut
total
up,
went
you.
Down.
And as Paul says, we used to score 40.
We used to score 45 a game. Now we're struggling to get to 30. Got to get him more involved, though.
Got to get him more involved. Got to get him more involved for sure.
Yeah, no, he's been a nice red zone find, and the tight ends continue to be tough to cover down there. So I would throw him in the good category as well. I thought their pass protection today was pretty good. They didn't try to run the ball as we. Yeah, you know, this is one we finally talked about for 2 hours before the game, and all the different things that we said pretty much happened. The one thing that we already discussed, Revis and Browner, sort of they went the opposite way that we talked about. But the other elements, we didn't think that Detroit had enough offensively to sort of keep up. We thought that the running game would be a complete and utter non-factor. They wouldn't really run the ball until the game was in out of question, and that's when they did, and they didn't really run the ball. You know, you saw why they didn't run the ball. Detroit was pretty tough today. They had two occasions that Blunt squirted through for like 30-yard runs, and even then I think they only ended up with about 85 yards rushing as a team. A lot of the things that we thought heading into the game today ended up happening, and you ended up with an easy win without really playing an exceptionally good game, which I think is maybe the best sign. I mean, offensively. Defensively, I thought they played very well, again, as we already talked about.
I think offensively you could say this 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Right? I thought that about last week's game.
Well, I thought they ran the ball really well last week.
Well,
I didn't think they threw it as effectively as they ran it last week.
Right.
No, of course not.
Last week they wanted to run the ball, though. I mean, that was the game plan.
But they wanted to throw it this week, and they threw it for over 300 yards.
Kind of gifted to them last week a little bit on some level.
I think that's a little unfair to the offensive line.
I think it's a little unfair too. I think that they ran the ball more effectively last week than they threw it this week.
But they played a better defense.
Oh yeah, no question about that.
I mean, they may not be the best defense in football, the most dominant defense in football, but that's a pretty good defense that's had a lot of success for 10 weeks prior to this.
Yeah,
give them a little credit.
And I didn't. I thought they were pretty good today.
Except when they didn't cover people.
You look up and it's 34 points, and you say, "Wow, that's not really a very good defense." But I thought that was a hard-hitting defense. I thought a lot of guys paid the price after catches.
James Ahedebo getting his hand on a lot of footballs.
You know, they had a couple of chances for picks, one of which
Good player, Andy. A real football player. What about LeGarrette Blount? 12 carries today, 78 yards for him, 2 touchdowns in his return.
Little burst, I thought. You know, Paul and Fred on PFW and Progress been sort of going at it that Blount offers a playmaking ability from what we saw last year that Jonas Gray doesn't. And you saw it again today. You saw some Blount runs where he squirts through, breaks a tackle.
It's hard to take down.
Yeah.
He got hit in the backfield on the first long run. I just think that he gives you more of a big play
Jonas
potential.
Who? Jonas who?
Yeah. And
by the way, I was right. He was inactive. He was active, but he was inactive.
Well, I'm just happy that
makes me right.
As I predicted, he would not get 80 yards today.
Who predicted he would get 80 yards?
Well, someone owes us lunch.
Oh, nice!
PFW in Progress, am I right?
Booyah!
And I would have even said if Blount got the 80 yards, I would have given it to you there, too, and he didn't get 80 either. So,
just shy, 78. 78.
Jonas Gray was just shy, needed to step on the field first.
Jonas Gray did not play in the game.
CD. DNPCD, as they like to call
it. Coach's decision. That's what we get. Let's get to some of the bad, because we're going to get to it.
Wow. We missed some of the good.
Yeah, we haven't got to all of it yet, but that's
how about the return game? One of them got called back.
Special
teams.
You
had a Danny Amendola. I think the game ended when Danny Amendola had his kick return.
He did.
I think that
Andy
was
said
the,
it
the that end
time.
Of the game. And
I thought it ended on the ensuing drive that Detroit didn't score on first and goal from the two. But
people joked, you know, the highest paid kick returner in the National Football League. Whatever, he's contributing. Okay, so let's move on. He's not going to be the 100-catch guy that he was brought here to be, but he made some contributions. And then you obviously had one call back on the punt game from Edelman. But, you know, just another example of this team continues to show that they can make plays in all three phases of the game. They are a complementary football team, as William Belichick likes to say.
If you're talking about special teams, don't leave out Ryan Allen either. That punt early in the game was ridiculous.
Flipped the field.
Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, one of the best punts I've seen in a while.
And he's not included in the regular, I would say, good contributors. He's had an okay year.
Yeah.
Has been sort of just middle of the pack. I think his net average is very much, you know, middle of the pack, 20th in the league or something like that.
It was a 66-yard punt.
That's good. That's good now.
That ball was in the air for a long time.
Some have
time
said you add
too.
In the 15 and it's a 70-something.
On the Twitter machine.
Yeah, I saw that at like 80 yards.
Whatever.
Yeah,
I think it's still going.
Whatever the case may be, it was a great punt.
You know, I think all three phases. Again.
But not only a great punt, but fielding the snap.
Oh, I know. It started off.
That was the snap that bounced.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
So
bounce snap, rolled it, picked it up.
And you get a bomb off. I mean, that was a big play.
You know how they say, though, sometimes that throws your timing off and it's better. It's like the big returns when you fumble it.
But that's a situation where if you panic there and maybe you don't handle it well and all of a sudden it could be 10-0 early in the game and maybe the whole complexion of the game changes.
Could be.
So it was a good one.
So now you can get on to your negatives.
Okay, let's get to the negatives. What do we have in the negative department?
Oh, the negative part. Pen O. Tees.
A lot of bad ones, too.
All over the field. All three phases of the game. That's where they're also complimentary. They
had tired of seeing flags.
Drive
period.
Extendings on defense. They had calling back big returns, although obviously the big return was set up by the penalty. But, yeah, all three phases. LaFell, when I said earlier, a false start from a receiver is just that's just not good.
That's just poor to me. Just poor.
So those
so
flags.
A lot of penalties.
11 for 84 for the Patriots.
That's
not good. I thought there
were too
many.
They've been in double digits this year a lot.
I thought too many drops by the receivers today. Or, if you don't want to call them all drops, catchable balls that weren't caught. Would you guys not agree with that one?
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to agree. I thought there was a handful of catchable balls today. Yeah, Gronk had one very early.
Yep.
Edelman had a couple of, would have been difficult catches, but he couldn't quite. LaFell had two drops. I thought there were some catchable balls today that didn't end up getting caught.
I thought there may have been some passes where it was tough to figure out live, was that on Brady or the receiver? There was one play where he had Vereen coming out of the backfield and
threw it to his feet,
and I thought, happened on that play?
I think that was a miscommunication. I think there may have been a sort of an adjustment on that, and Vereen thought it was going to be a turn it up for a wheel route, and Brady saw, okay, just get to him quick in the flat. I think that may have been more of a mental thing than a physical thing.
I feel like there were a couple of plays like that in the game, just off the top of my head. So I put that into the bad category. Penalties we've talked about. What was bad defensively for this team today?
Bad defensively for this team today.
That's a hard one to come up with. I think they were pretty good against the run again.
Yeah. Bell had 19 for 48, so you held their leading rusher to 2.5 a carry. His longest run, 6 yards.
I'd be hard-pressed to come,
hard
up, with
to come
any,
up with one.
I'd be hard-pressed to come up with one defensively today.
Probably just the penalties. I would include them in the penalties.
Yeah, they had a lot of penalties.
All three
up.
But other than that, I think this was a good defensive effort against a limited offense. You knew they couldn't run. You made sure they didn't run, and then the passing game that they put forth, you stagnated. And just to get back to the good a little bit, I want to give credit to the whole secondary. They have consistently, for now 3-4 weeks, been throwing 5-6 defensive backs out there. And for the most part, there's been one or two here or there. The communication has been good. The tackling has been good. Some of those bunch routes where, remember Trent Dilfer was showing earlier in the year how Darius Butler and the Colts suck and they lose guys on those. They seem to have everything sort of all on the same page, whether it's Arrington, Logan Ryan, Daron Harmon, Patrick Chung. There's different bodies rolling through there, and I give them credit. It's Revis is the guy around what it's built, but I think the rest of the guys have done a nice job.
I agree. I thought defensively today they were really strong again. And these are the kinds of offenses. We can look at it after the game and say Detroit's not a very good offense. They haven't scored. I mean, the numbers say what they are. What Tim Twentyman said, 26th in the league in scoring or something like that. So they are what they are. We understand that. But these are the kinds of offenses that periodically in the past have not looked pedestrian against the Patriots. The Patriots have generally been the magic elixir that makes everybody's offense look a lot better than it really is. Well, the opposite of that has been true this year. When they've played a pedestrian offense, they've made it look pedestrian. And today, what was Stafford, around 35% completion percentage? And
18 of 46.
And I got to tell you, I don't think he played that bad. I didn't look at a lot of guys that he had that he just flat out missed. Now, they had you talk about receivers letting you down. The Lions dropped a ton of passes today.
Yeah.
A couple of would-be touchdowns, too. Jeremy Ross, I don't know how he dropped that one in the end zone. But all that said, I thought they were excellent. across the board defensively today. And it starts, I think, with this run. They're able to stop the run. Andy, you talked about all the defensive backs they use. They're still not giving up any yards on the ground, despite really only having five or six guys up front. It starts with Wilfork, Hightower, and Collins.
Yep. Little Allen Branch mixed in there.
But it's been amazing how much better they've been against the run.
It's against teams that are running for three yards a carry on
all
the season.
Three of these teams they played the last 3 weeks, they're not known for running the football. But still.
I give people credit for taking away people's weakness, making sure their weakness stays their weakness so then you can focus on their strengths.
Right. Doing your job, right?
Right. And we've seen defenses with this team that weren't able to do that, weren't able to make them one-dimensional, weren't able to play the game on what they know they have to do, their terms, and they're doing it. Very, very, very impressively.
As far as the injuries go, we mentioned the one with LaFell, how he could fit into all the categories. He left in the fourth quarter, had a really nice catch, dove, hit the ground, looked like it was his shoulder.
Yeah, landed on his shoulder pretty hard.
Beto, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
It's a total hypothetical trolling question.
Go ahead.
Being a negative for the sake of being negative, it's totally tongue-in-cheek.
Why don't I give the next two injuries, and then we'll go to it. Let's finish this thing.
Go ahead.
Wow. Let's do it.
Go ahead.
Kyle Arrington left. Hit his helmet off of Daron Harmon's helmet, it looked like.
Yeah, he came back, though.
He came back.
Yep. His neck was the official injury listing, but he did come back.
Okay, and then Dan Connolly left the game, right?
Yes, did not come back.
He did not come back. He had an ankle injury.
But did it look that serious? Because I could see, it didn't look that serious.
Looks like he came up, walked over, and gave Brady the old fist pump on the sideline. So,
I'm an 8-year vet. I'm going to chill out over here.
Right.
With a 3-score lead.
I'm going to go take a seat and not put any further strain on that. So there's that. So there's
and,
the good, the bad.
You know,
we're going to mix more in as we go.
A couple other little ones. We saw Sebastian Vollmer get up a little slow at one point.
Yeah, it looked like he may have gotten rolled up on a little bit on a play, and he stayed down a little bit. Ryan Wendell helped him up, but he was okay.
Julian Edelman, I thought, took another game where he took some pretty good licks after last week where he was on with the thigh because he came down. You know, I think he's always worthy of sort of monitoring just because the pounding he takes. But for the most part, again, assuming, you know, LaFell was on the sideline too, we should say that. So Arrington came back and LaFell was on the sideline. I didn't see a lot of trainers with him, like there was something immediately pressing needing to be done. And then Conley looked at, so you may have sort of gotten through another one here.
So what's the question, Paul?
I was going to ask you, you know, we all know that you can be Joe fan.
Mm-hmm, yeah, sure.
Still doesn't see a block in the back on that punt.
My guess is that you won't have a problem.
That's not true. I have not seen the play since it happened. So when I see it again, I will give you an honest assessment.
Has it changed since it happened?
I will give you an honest assessment when I have the opportunity to look at the play again. Go ahead.
The play that LaFell got shaken up was a fourth down play in a 27-9 game.
Yes.
Well within field goal range. And I'm just wondering, if you lost a key guy, would that bother you at all?
No,
and
I'm not.
On a fourth down play?
No, I'm not, because I'm not one of those.
I predicted that he wouldn't.
Like when Gronk got hurt and it was on an extra point, like it didn't bother me at
all. Yeah, but that's to me, that's different. Like, okay, if he's on the extra point, if that's a role that he has in the team, that, I mean, I get. And listen, a lot of people, they don't care. If you get hurt in a game, it
doesn't
matter.
Doesn't bother me.
To me, the score.
I'm all about running up the score, first downs, touchdowns, all of that.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm an advocate for running up the score.
Okay. That's fine.
Everybody. That's not just the Patriots
thing.
That's
for
every team in the NFL.
I think he's okay.
Keep playing the game.
I think he was okay. It kind of scared me a little bit to see him go down. I thought maybe he had a separated shoulder, one of those kind of deals. But I agree with Andy. It looked like he was, sort of just chilling out on the sideline. Didn't look like there was anything pressing. But I think that would be a really tough one to take unnecessarily. In a situation when the game is over and you're throwing passes across the middle.
Here's when I think it's appropriate to get a guy out of a game. When you feel like there's a situation where he could be out there, be exposed, and have other players trying to take cheap shots at him.
Well, I don't worry. Oh, I guess we missed something at the end of the game.
Looked like Sue going at it with Revis. Blunt, McCourty, and then 51 got involved. I don't know who that is. But, looked like some jawing post-game between the Patriots and Lions.
Yeah,
there's a shock, by the way. Sue involved.
I just don't like exposing guys to. I wouldn't necessarily assume that a cheap shot is coming.
Well, when you're,
I just don't like. It's a very physical game, and guys get hurt all the time. I would like to sort of lessen the chances of a guy getting injured when there's no need to expose him to getting injured.
Like with Rob Gronkowski, as we've seen in recent weeks, he is a player that is very difficult to bring down on the field. Hence, players go for the leg, knee area when they are going to tackle him.
Well, I just think that's the way you tackle
him. And this is what I'm saying.
I wouldn't try to tackle a guy up high.
Because that's what I just said, Paul. I led with that.
No, but I'm not talking about Gronkowski. I think that's true of every single player in the league.
Because of his size, he's very
difficult
to bring
down. That's the part that I disagree
down.
With, that's all.
And because of that, guys go low to try and bring him down. It's just the way they tackle Rob Gronkowski because it's a really hard guy to bring down. So right. I think he is someone who is exposed to additional danger, so to speak, in terms of risk of being injured because of his size and the way players try and tackle him. So I would be cautious with Rob Gronkowski late in games that are, you know, very much in hand the rest of the way. He is someone I would be looking to protect because he is also, I think we've talked about this, the most important player on the offense next to Tom Brady that you can't lose.
Yeah, I agree.
And he's the most important player on the team next to Tom Brady that you can't lose.
Yeah, so if it was a fourth down play to Gronk, you would feel differently.
I would feel differently about him.
Okay, yeah, I don't make the distinction because I don't feel like there's any difference between the chances of a guy unnecessary. To me, if it's an unnecessary play, I don't want to necessarily put my guys, expose them to any risk. And that's, you know, that's the and listen, was it a huge,
as I like to say, football players
deal?
Play football.
Yeah, I understand that. And they played football, and they had a 3-score lead, and the game was over, and you kick a field goal, everybody goes home, everybody's happy. They've played football. They just played 60 minutes of great football and won the game. But they decided to take a chance, and, you know, hopefully everything is fine, because I think LaFell is a part of this offense right now that they would miss. I think they would miss him if he wasn't in there. And I'm not sure I would have said that in September, but since October came around and this offense started clicking, I think he's been a part of it. And I would really hate to see the offense lose him.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number. We have some open lines if you want to jump on board. Do that right now. Let's start by taking some of these calls. I'm also told we will likely be joined by a Patriots player here on the program.
Who?
I have a hint, but I'm going to keep it close to the vest.
Tim Wright.
You would have guessed correctly if that was a guess. I mean, that's what we're hearing.
I won the lottery.
That's what we're hearing. He's
been,
he's been more involved. He's a touchdown machine. And
he's going to do that interview on the phone from the Patriots locker room, which means we'll be about as close to him as the nearest Detroit defender was on his 2 touchdowns. See what I did there?
Let's start out with Steve. He's in Texas. Hey, Steve.
Hey, fellas.
Hi, Steve.
Thanks, Beals. Hey, what's going on, Andy and Paul?
Is this Stephen Killeen?
This is the Stephen Killeen, fellas.
Beetle, you got to give this guy a little bit better introduction.
I'm special guest.
I'm sorry.
He's a multi-time lunch buyer during the week. He's a phenomenal human being.
And PFW is curing my cancer, guys. Literally.
See? We cure cancer, bitches.
That's right. You can take that to the bank. I can get it documented for you, Andy.
Well, I'd like you to do that so I can bring it. I don't want to bring it to the bank. I want to bring it to a similar entity, the Crafts.
Okay, we'll work on that. I guess for me, the ugly was watching Gronk get mugged when Brady threw that INT, although it was probably an ill-advised throw. But the NFL, you know, being so not fun as far as things go, on a holding call that or a pass interference that was pretty blatant, they let that one go.
They did, and I was upset with that, and Paul would say it's just because it was Gronk that it occurred against.
Yeah,
but,
it was.
You know, Patrick Chung gets called for a hold, which he deserved. He grabbed Fourier and pulled him, and they do the same thing to Gronk, and it leads to a turnover, and it doesn't get called.
Yeah, I thought both were penalties. I thought the difference was Chung grabbed the guy's shirt, and on this one, the defender had his arm around Gronk's waist, but I thought they were both penalties. It should have been called on Gronk, too.
It's the equity that they keep saying that they're trying to get to that kind of bugged me on that.
Well, I didn't really miss any other calls because they call pretty much everything all day.
See, that's my problem. I actually think, you say, they missed this call, they missed that call. The game would be even worse because they're calling flags at just a horrific rate. And a lot of them, I think, well-deserved. I said to Paul.
I had a hard time questioning many of the penalties that were called
and
today.
I took heat on Twitter for this. I usually hate the illegal hands to the face. I said to Paul, I go, unless you really punch somebody right in the face with your initial punch, don't call it. And then I looked, and Solder's initial punch, two hands, went right to the face. Okay, you got to call it.
Yep. And, you know, I agree with you by and large. The ones that were called were pretty much on point, but the one where we lost the touchdown with Edelman, that was blatant. I can't get mad about it other than the fact that, it's something that we've been saying all year that they need to clean up the penalties.
Yep, no question. And, I go with, yes, that sprung him, but you also had a return where Edelman made the other moves. The other guys made their blocks. I just, you know, I like the fact that they're making plays in the kicking game, even though it did come back.
Yeah, and I guess my ugly would be we left 14 points potentially with those two penalties off the board. So if you add those in, you're looking at a 40-burger being hung on the best defense.
Yep. That would be my biggest negative, ugly, whatever, from the whole game is the penalties. And it just feels like, you know, we talked about it. Seattle was the most penalized team a year ago. That, for better or worse, that's going to be the MO of this team. They're going to be a highly penalized team, and they have to make it work for them.
It's okay. We'll get by it. You know, as Fred would say, 9-2 on Arizona.
All right, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Take it easy. 855-PATS-500. Let's go to Gary in Ohio. Hi, Gary.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Great.
You know, I think the unsung hero of this game was Brandon Brown.
And I think it was unsung. No, I thought he was great.
Yeah, we led off that, you know, I think it was easily his best game. What's this, his fifth game as a Patriot?
Yeah.
I think it was his best game as a Patriot. He went up against a machine of a receiver in Megatron. Now, I think he's still probably dealing with a little something. They seem to be limiting his snaps. He was going to the sideline, you know, every third play or whatever it was. But give Browner credit. He fit in as the number two corner on this defense next to Revis and had a great game.
Yeah, I know, but y'all didn't give him the credit in the good, the bad, and the ugly, did you?
Actually, I did.
No, actually, we did.
You should rewind it.
Oh, matter of fact, we let off the good, the bad, and the ugly with that.
See, this is what I mean. You people are unbelievable. Yes, I have criticized him, but then when I praise him, you say, oh, well, you guys didn't praise him. Open your ears, people. Open your Twitter accounts. You got to read and listen when I actually do praise him.
And I would even
very
add,
sensitive, Andy.
I am. You know, we are a little sensitive on this stuff because I get a little frustrated. When something happened in the past that people say happened and you disagree with it, if that thing happens in the future, then you were wrong about the past. In other words, everybody said Brandon Browner was great in every game. And Brandon Browner was great today. That means that I was wrong about the past Brandon Browner evaluation.
I didn't understand when you said it the first time, but now I understand what you said.
I don't think that Brandon Browner was great before today. Brandon Browner was outstanding in the game today. Last week, he was terrible. But everybody will have you believe that Brandon Browner has been great
every game.
And now today, you're wrong.
When you're great,
do you know what I mean?
You also get benefits of luck because Darrell Revis was great today. And guess what? Ebron got behind him, and he could have given up a catch.
People only care when you're wrong when it's something about their team and it's negative. That's the only time they care.
Well, don't say people because you're one of those people. You're one of those honk, wonks, whatever it is.
What are you talking about?
You're one of those little, you know, you're still the boy from Quincy.
After last week's game, we sat here and talked about how Brandon Browner sucked. And all year long, I've said his coverage skills are suspect. And last week, it really came out and you could really see it.
But they were good today. You're still one of those homer people.
No,
you got a little bit of that left.
No, I'm not.
That's why you block people, they said on Twitter.
Oh, God, Andy, don't listen to the people who I've blocked on Twitter. They've got to be a real a-hole to get blocked on Twitter.
You and Eric.
You block people on Twitter?
I've blocked some people on Twitter, yes.
Wow. I've blocked one guy in my career, and that's only because of the language that he was using. It was really offensive. It was really
I blocked
bad.
One guy, and he showed me a picture of a gun multiple times.
Yeah, I would say that's probably appropriate.
Yeah, I would have blocked that guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I have a lot of guys that kill me on Twitter on a regular, especially after our Wednesday appearances on the Hub. I get beat up pretty good after that.
Hmm. Toso is in Connecticut.
That's because those people listen to the show and not just the open.
No, because they say that I let them bully me around on the show and I just say whatever Felger and Maz want me to say.
Oh, I see that.
Yeah, you see that. Yeah.
Toso, you there?
I have no opinion.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
What's up?
What's going on, man?
Just enjoying a big victory, huh?
Yeah, yo, Andy, yo, you're the man, you're the man. I listen to your show all the time. I like the opinions you give out.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, you're the guy, huh?
You're cool, too, but...
Hey, thanks. Man. That's okay. Andy's the football guy. Andy's the man. He played, he played collegiate.
All right.
I played collegiate, but basketball, though.
Oh, okay.
Andy was much better when he was on the steroids, though.
Anybody know who the Messiah is?
Where'd you play basketball in college?
Sacred Heart.
Sacred Heart? Wow.
Oh, good school.
Division I, Andy. That's much higher level than you.
Well, you know, we're an academic conference in the NESCAC.
You're not an academic person.
Screw you. So what do you got from the game? What do you like? What do you not like?
All right, listen to this. I used to hate Brandon Browner, but now today, after seeing this game, I kind of feeling a little bit better towards him. But what am I supposed to think going forward? Because, I mean, one game, Kobe Fleener is beating him off the line crazy. Today, you know, I mean, he's doing great against the best receiver in the league. So I don't know what to think about this guy. Going forward, going into the playoffs, what should I expect?
I think you expect there are going to be some weeks where whatever it is, the matchup, the tendencies, the game plan, he's a benefit to your defense. He's your number two corner. Everybody needs to keep that in mind. You know, I don't buy into the Richard Sherman. I mean, this guy's a number one corner. Guess what? If he was the number one corner on this team and Revis weren't here, I think it would be a lot of criticism of Brandon Browner. I think because he's the number two, you take him for what he is, and he's a benefit to your defense that can help you in a lot of matchups. And, you know, I'm going to still say it. The other guys, you know, the game plans I think they can throw at passing attacks with Arrington and Patrick Chung, this newfound Patrick Chung, who suddenly is a pretty good guy in coverage.
Yeah, definitely.
I think they can throw a lot of DBs at opposing quarterbacks, and Browner is one of those that can really help you in certain matchups.
So you're trying to tell me, like, Bill Belichick is going to take those big flaws that he has and just not even worry about it just because of the defensive backs he has? Because I feel like man coverage against people, like, in the playoffs, I don't know who we're going to face in the playoffs, but if he gets beat even one play for a touchdown, that could alter the whole game.
Yes, there's no question. That could happen. It could have happened today. It could happen any day. It can happen. I mean, that's the problem with playing corner in the NFL.
Yeah.
You only have to make two mistakes, and you are the GOAT. Absolute GOAT.
You've got to remember how good some of these receivers are, too. And, you know, this is Calvin Johnson.
But how about, you know, the 49ers? Say just, you know, they turn it around and you go to the Super Bowl. I think he'd help you in a game against the 49ers because they have physical receivers, a guy like Anquan Boldin. You know, that's a matchup where I say, I'd like to have. We've seen Anquan Boldin bitch slap the Patriots. I like having Browner available to make sure that he doesn't bitch slap us again.
Yeah, I agree.
Not every week, not every receiver. You know, different matchups depending on how it all plays out.
Calvin Johnson is the kind of guy that you would think that's why you have Browner. I was afraid of it. I'm not going to be 20/20 hindsight. I was afraid of this matchup. I didn't want him on Johnson. Now he stepped up. He made the most of the decision to put him on there. But that's the kind of guy that you want Brandon Browner for, a big guy that can get physical with him and not allow him to run by him. And he didn't allow him to run by him today. I thought he got free on a few crossing routes, and Stafford didn't throw the ball his direction. But there weren't very many times like last week where I said, wow, did we just dodge a bullet there? That guy was wide open. They missed him.
And
I didn't see that a lot today.
Yeah, but then again, look at this. Are you gonna say, okay, today's game was a product of Brandon Browner playing great, or was it a product of Matt Stafford just not taking advantage of the mistakes he was making, you know?
Some of both.
It's going to be a quarterback.
I didn't think Stafford was bad today.
There's always some of both.
I didn't think he missed a lot of opportunities.
Like, he missed, there was one play where he was wide open crossing the middle of the field. Browner slipped down a little bit on the in cut. He could have hit him for probably a 10, 15-yard catch and run over the middle. He missed him, okay? You know, that happens sometimes. And that's why I say every once in a while you do need to be lucky. You know, Revis could have given up that play to Ebron, but Ebron, it hits him in the gut and he doesn't catch it. Revis gets a hand in late. I just think he's going to help this defense he already has. And maybe I was being a little critical. Maybe he's rounding into shape. You know, this is his fifth game. He's, you know, Bill always says there's a reason they call it midseason
form.
You know,
that's a good point. Maybe he is rounding into shape because he did have, you know, he missed a lot of time there with that month off. And it turned into 5 weeks.
Plus, you know, the postseason, when they let him play, let you be a little bit more physical, flags might fly a little bit less. That can also help him.
Mike's in Florida. He's up next. Hey, Mike.
That stinks.
Okay.
Michael!
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, I'm all right. Good.
You getting another call?
No.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
So I just wanted to talk about Brady and his deep throws. They've just been off. Like, it seems like every time he tries to throw deep, he always overthrows it.
It does seem like that happens a lot, doesn't it? Now, today, today I think he had the LaFell one deep. He definitely overthrew. Now, I also don't think LaFell is real great deep. He doesn't, like, get into that
adjust fluid
mode of going to get the football. I don't think he's a deep receiver. You know, that's a little bit of the old days where they're sending guys deep who aren't really deep receivers. You know, I don't know if you're including the Edelman one in there, which I actually think Edelman probably should have caught. But we know what it is. Deep throws are not his game. I'm fine with it.
Let's go inside the Patriots locker room after a 34-9 win on the line. Joining us right now, Patriots linebacker Akeem Ayers. Akeem, thanks for the time. Welcome to the program. Congratulations on the win.
Thanks, appreciate it.
What did you make today of your team's defensive effort in this game? Obviously, the scoreboard tells a a part of the story, I should say. But what did you think in terms of your game plan for this game and how well you executed it on the field?
Yeah, I mean, we had a game plan earlier on. We had it, you know, we knew what we wanted to do. So, I mean, it was just on us just coming out and, like you said, just executing the game plan and just really, you know, making adjustments throughout the game to really, you know, get Stafford comfortable early, not let him get comfortable in the pocket, put pressure on him, get him moving off his spot, and just really just build off that.
Hakeem, you've been here for a few weeks now, and it seems like you're getting a lot of playing time. How difficult has it been to sort of be a part of all these different personnel groupings and packages with so little experience here in this system?
I mean, it's somewhat difficult, but, I mean, at the same time, you know, the coaches have done a really good job just, you know, week to week, just getting me caught up to game plan with the game plan. Players in the locker room, linebackers, you know, really good job just communicating me, walking me through each week. And now, I mean, you know, just been learning on the go just each week, you know, learning something new and just trying to build each week.
I know you tweeted something about the grass is indeed greener, and you've obviously enjoyed your time here, got a few sacks, been getting to the quarterback. You know, LeGarrette Blount signs, and he finds himself in the end zone a couple times. What is it like, or what does it say about this team that guys like you and LeGarrette and others come in here and immediately are contributors and are put in roles and succeed in those roles? How does that happen?
I mean, the coaches, you know, do a really good job at just putting players in position to succeed and just really coming up with good game plans and just the expectation that is, you know, held by the coaches, you know, this team, the organization. And, you know, when we come in, you know, we're just learning from the guys in here who've been doing it already. And just, you know, really, like I said, just learning from them, trying to play up to the standard that's held here and, you know, just following through with the game plan and really just, you know, working hard to learn a game plan each week and just learning, working hard just to, you know, to get on the field and just take advantage of the opportunity that we have.
You mentioned game plans. How big was it? You know, in recent weeks, you've shut down the run, and then this week you do it again where you really make them one-dimensional. How much of a focus was that coming in and making sure they never got the ground game going?
Yeah, I mean, that's a focus each week. Each week as a defense, we want to come out, we want to make the offense one-dimensional, you know, shut the run game down early. Because as an offense, you know, every week offense want to get their run game going because the run game sets up, you know, all the play actions, all the deep passes. So, you know, as a defense, you know, we put emphasis on, you know, we want to shut down the run early, make them one-dimensional, and force them just to throw the ball, and then, you know, it's going to be on us just to make the plays once we shut down the run game.
It seems like you guys have been doing a lot of, in the pass rush, some creative stuff to get people loose, and I know you had an early sack today. Rob Ninkovich looks like he's starting on the outside, you know, some inside moves and some twists and stunts. Are you guys sort of enjoying keeping the offensive line guessing? It looks like you guys have had a lot of success doing some different stuff with the pass rush.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun. You know, that's kind of your reward for, you know, shutting down the run game early. You know, we get the run game stopped early. You know, we have some good, you know, rush plans, and we have the, you know, the versatile athletes to really just move guys all around and just really cause a lot of confusion, run a lot of different games and stunts, and this is really, like you said, keep the offense guessing, and that's something I think that we have as an advantage, you know, just the hybrid, you know, versatile, you know, smart players on the defense side of the ball that allows us to do, you know, the different type of looks and different type of pressures.
Hakeem, we all see what Rob Gronkowski brings to the offense and the energy and sort of that big physical, have fun guy. Does Brandon Browner bring a little bit of that to the defense? Seems like he's, you know, got a lot of energy out there, and is that something you guys feed off of?
Oh, yeah. He has a lot of energy. You know, he's always, you know, just getting guys going. You know, he's always just a positive guy on the sideline. You know, just had a lot of energy and just, you know, he just really enjoyed playing the game. And, you know, I mean, that definitely rubs off on, you know, his teammates. You know, we just all just, you know, feed off each other, feed off his energy, whoever it may be. But, I mean, he's just, you know, just for the short time that I've known him, you know, he definitely, like I said, just a, you know, energy guy, just really positive and just really just always, you know, just being positive on the sideline and just really getting guys on.
All right, Hakeem, well, it looks like you're enjoying your time in New England so far. Yeah. Congratulations on the win once again, and we hopefully will talk to you again soon.
All right, thank you.
Congratulations, Hakeem.
Sackmaster.
Sackmaster Hakeem Ayers. Should put that across the back of his jersey, like the XFL.
I like his hair, too. I don't know if he's still there, and this is probably a little weird.
No, but, he's not.
Okay. I like his hair. He's got that.
Thanks, Andy.
Is that a faux hawk thing? And he's got the blonde dye and everything. It's kind of a soccer look. I think some of those soccer players in Spain do it.
Depending on your point of view as a Patriot fan, good news or bad news in Denver. Dolphins with a 14-3 lead early in the second quarter. I think that's bad news. I know Fred was sort of asking that question during the course of the week when we talked about that game. Do you want to bury Miami and get rid of them in the division? Or are you more concerned with Denver and, you know, the possibility of not being able to get the number one seed? Which one do you look at?
I personally
want to get rid of Miami in the division.
No, I want to get rid of Denver.
Me too.
Yeah,
bury
Denver.
I'm rooting for Miami.
Oh,
no.
Make him a wild card team. Make him go on the road, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, no. Okay, yeah. I actually, the way I answered it when Fred posed it was, if it was anybody else in a regular division with regular opponents, I'd be happy with the score right now.
Right.
I mean, I'd be unhappy with the score right now because Miami would still be involved. They've still played the Patriots. They could beat you twice.
Right.
Suddenly get back in. I don't have any faith in Miami as a Miami fan if I were rooting for Miami. So as a Patriot fan, I don't have any fear of Miami coming back to win the division. So therefore, I'm happy with the score at 14-3 that Denver is losing.
Which
is why, as a Patriot fan.
I don't know how you guys felt the other night, but I saw some people thought, you know, oh, it was good to see Kansas City lose to Oakland. And I kind of looked at it and thought, well, if you kind of had hopes of Kansas City winning the West, I didn't love that win. I much rather would have seen Kansas City beat Oakland.
Well, the only thing is if Kansas City won the West, they potentially could have beaten you for the number one seed because they're the only team in the AFC that's beaten the Patriots.
I just can't see them catching up is the way I look at it. Like, if I had to guess who would lose more games between now and the end of the season? It would be Kansas City, not the Patriots. And I know there's an outside chance, so you're kind of balancing a lot of different things there, Paul. You know what I mean?
That one could have gone either way. That one I could definitely see. This one, to me, if this was like 2001 and I didn't know what the Patriots were going to do every year and what Miami was going to do every year, I would be unhappy with this score. I don't have any fear of Miami right now because of what I've seen the last 12 years.
Well, then why do you want them to win this game? Or I should say,
I do want Miami to win the game.
Oh, you do?
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you wanted.
No. I changed. I changed and said that.
Because I confused myself
at the beginning.
And you confused us as well.
And when you confuse you confuse me.
Yeah. No, but remember when we talked about it during the week, Andy? That's the way we had talked about it. Like, if Miami were relevant in any way, you'd be rooting against Miami.
Yeah.
But because Miami's irrelevant, I'm rooting for Miami because I think Denver's the bigger.
What is the chance Miami sweeps the Patriots by coming? Like, if they had already beaten the Patriots at Gillette, and then I could say, well, you know, they're at home, but to come to Foxborough and you're going to sweep the Patriots? Come on.
Plus, even if they
I'll
give you that win. I'll give you that win.
I won't.
They're not going to win all the rest. They'll lose to somebody else. And the Patriots aren't going to lose anyway.
Although I will say, Fred Kirsch,
I've seen this act before.
Enjoying the demise of Denver and Peyton Manning.
It's got 2003 written all over it, Andy. 2-2, 14-2.
By the way, the Rams up 10-3 on the Chargers.
Yeah, 99-yard pick six for Janoris Jenkins.
So there's a little bit of that as well.
So now the Broncos losing to the Rams.
And the big.
And I got that circle thing with everybody beating everybody and got to figure out what I think of anything.
The big.
Oh, wait, the Patriots are good. That's what I think.
The big 4 o'clock matchup, that Seattle-Arizona game out in Seattle. Seattle with a 9-0 lead on the Cardinals.
Arizona
right
looks horrific offensively in this game.
That's what I like to hear, boys.
All right, 855-PATS-500 is the phone
number.
You
guys didn't.
855-PATS-500. We're going
to
take a timeout.
News to
come
me.
Back, get to more of your calls. We're going to get to some of your emails. You guys are still talking.
We're going to get to females?
And,
which females?
Let's take the break and we'll come back.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium, So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Join Mark, Andy, and Paul by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or get in touch with the show via email at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show and your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
Let's check out some emails, webradio@patriots.com, the address. Kenny in Virginia writes, "Hey, gentlemen, great defensive game this afternoon. I was curious how often Dennard played. From my couch, I only saw him in garbage time, and prior to that, I saw Logan Ryan. It's more of a curiosity thing since whatever we did this afternoon worked, and that's fine by me. Great show, fellas, and keep up the great work. How much was he out there? I didn't find him to be all that noticeable in this game today. Are you guys just...
I would agree. I didn't remember seeing him.
Welcome back, Andy.
I didn't remember him seeing him on defense very often, and if he was in garbage time, it might even have been when Andy and I were in the elevator coming downstairs. I didn't see him as an active participant. Saw a lot of Arrington, Browner, Revis, corners, and three safety looks with McCourty, Chung, and Harmon. I thought Harmon got a little bit more playing time today on defense than he has been, and certainly that has been the norm. And then Logan Ryan mixing in a little bit. I don't remember seeing Dennard very often, if at all. Until maybe at the very end, as the emailer said.
Jason writes in on his bad list, penalties. What do the coaches need to do to clean this up? I feel like it could end up hurting us in the playoffs. There were a couple of big penalties today that pretty much directly prevented points on the board. Otherwise, great game. Go Pats.
You want to get an agreeable Bill Belichick answer in tomorrow morning's weekly conference call? Throw out something about, you know, the penalties being a problem. I agree with you. I mean, we've got to clean it. Like, he'll go with you.
You want to get chewed out in the conference call tomorrow? Talk about how great that they've been playing and, you know, how, I mean, what do you tell them? Ask a question along the lines of, what do you even tell the players? You're in a 7-game winning streak. You're blowing teams out. What do you even tell the players to keep them humble? And, you know, you're going to hear a lot about, you know, how the offense did nothing in the second half and they're committing double-digit penalties every week, turning the ball over in the red zone even though they did it once. you'll get absolutely bombarded with a whole bunch of negativity from Bill.
Danny from Spain writes in, hey, guys, what a defense. Amazing. Nice game overall. But I wanted to talk to you about something. Do you guys support the decision by Bill Belichick of letting Jonas Gray sit on the sideline the entire game?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, that's what I say. Who cares?
Well, I mean, not who cares. I mean, if he wants
Andy,
to
it's who cares?
Like, squash his – and, you know, they're big on that around. We know that forever. They've been big on sort of limiting expectations and egos and individuality and all that. I have no problem with it. As I said, I thought he was going to be inactive, and he essentially was inactive.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen if it was a game like last week where they were going to run the ball 45 times, would he not have gotten any carries? Would he have not have played?
I think he would have.
I think he would have, too.
But
I think this was a
that's
very
why
convenient,
I thought he would be inactive.
This was a very convenient way, and really it was Vereen, and he sprinkled in. How many carries did Blunt get?
I think
12. Did he get the 10 carries?
Yeah, he did.
So he got the 10 carries, and they were below 50% on third down.
12 for 78.
So I was right. I wasn't.
You're the greatest,
I was the closest,
Paul.
Without going over, Beetle.
That's right. Good job.
Thanks.
Good job, Paul.
Thanks.
What did I have? Six?
I don't know.
No, five.
I had 10, and you guys were below me. And then you all of a sudden,
I'm always beneath you, Paul.
Then you all of a sudden came up with the, you can't be, it's the closest without going over.
But I said to Paul during the game,
right, rules, Andy.
This is a college suspension against Appalachian State, you know, for the first quarter, whatever. You,
toothless.
Yeah, I disciplined him.
Toothless.
No, what are you talking about? I disciplined him. You know, yeah, you weren't going to run the ball. You didn't need multiple lead backs in this game. So I think it was the perfect situation to send a message to, you know, Akeem Ayers. Hey, you think your poop don't stink? You got sacks in three of the last four? Yeah. Let's just make sure you're walking the straight and narrow here, buddy.
Yeah, and there were reports on Twitter that Akeem Ayers had a similar situation last week.
Correct.
And that's why he didn't start against Indianapolis.
We've got Bill Belichick coming up 1 minute away. Before we do that, it's Nick Baby Love in Miami. Hey, Nick.
Oh, my God. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great win today, Nick.
Yes, it is a great win, and I just want to say this. Happy Thanksgiving before anybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, you too.
Especially to Mark, because I usually don't mention his name enough.
Screw Mark.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Well, you know, because Felger and Maz, you know how they are, you know?
Right.
That's true.
I just want to say this. Number 12, 175-53, the greatest winning percentage in the history of the National Football League.
Woo!
That felt like you needed a Ric Flair.
Ric Flair, yeah. I absolutely needed a Ric Flair after that.
And I hope one of the questions tomorrow, if you saw the email there and whatnot, is, Bill, how do you like the new hoodie dance?
The new hoodie dance?
The new hoodie dance.
I don't know anything about the new hoodie dance.
Nor do I.
So we'll see if anyone
asks. Did you
asks
cut him off?
What's that?
Did you cut him
yeah,
off?
Yeah, we have Bill Belichick. We got to get to
Yeah, we got to get to Belichick quickly.
So we're going to Bill Belichick after this win.
I like the passion from Nick, though. Good job.
I do, too. I like Brady, too.
Yeah.
He's pretty good
at home.
Good player.
Now.
Good player.
Pretty good on the road too.
Better at home though. Yes. He don't lose at home. No, and he's kind of like the anti. Matthew Stafford. He don't win on road.
34-9, your final score. Patriots get a win at home to move to 9-2. And here's what Bill Belichick had to say after this one.
Guys did a good job today, being ready to go. You know, we anytime you keep a team out of the end zone like Detroit, you know, that's good. We were able to put some points on the board, made plays in all three phases of the game. So the players played, you know, played well, played very competitively throughout the game, made enough plays to win. And I'm proud of the way we played. We got obviously a big week coming up, but it's good to, you know, good to get this one, good to get contributions from so many people, so many phases of our game. Our special teams really, you know, again, we had a lot of penalties out there today, but made a lot of plays. So just keep trying to clean that part of it up.
Bill, can you talk about LeGarrette Blount coming right in, stepping right in, scoring some touchdowns for you today?
Yeah, I thought LG ran good. Yeah, I thought he ran good. He had a good week, worked hard to get ready this week. Thought he did a good job for us.
Bill, it kind of looked like a punt from Ryan Allen sort of set the tone early in the game. Was that a big play in the game?
Sure was. Mm-hmm. Sure was. Big field position play. Yeah. Yeah, I thought we had good coverage today. We got good kicking. So, yep. He did a good job.
Bill, last week you guys ran for 250 yards. This week you threw the ball 50-something times. Is that the type of versatility that a team really needs to be able to succeed week to week in the NFL?
I don't know. I mean, we just do what we try to do, what we think we need to do to win. That's all. I don't know about any other team or league trends or anything. We're just trying to win a game. Yeah, I thought they played competitively. Really did. You know, I thought, you know, Brandon had a, you know, big matchup on Johnson, Revis on Tate. I mean, those guys really, you know, competed well. You know, Chung on the tight ends. You know, Arrington on, you know, the both the third receivers there, that they Fuller and Ross. So, you know, the backs, our linebackers are challenged by, obviously, Riddick. You know, is a good back. So, yeah, had played good across the board. Devin did a real good job in the deep part of the field. So, yeah, thought that those guys played well. I mean, again, anytime you can keep a team like Detroit off the out of the end zone, so you know, got to feel good about that. Kickoff return.
Yep.
Kickoff. Yeah. Yeah. No. Answered that. Answered the field goal. Yeah. Good blocking. I thought Danny made, you know, a lot of yards on his own. Looked like he made a couple guys miss there around the 30-yard line or so. You know, did a good job of waiting for the blockers for Nate, and I think it was another one there to catch up and get a couple extra blocks. So I mean, that was a huge, you know, huge play, obviously, to answer their field goal. And and then offensively, we were able to finish it off. So, yeah, it was a big play for us.
What was the lack of usage for Jonas Gray? Was that discipline related?
We do what we think's the best. That's what we did today.
Well, had you guys tried to limit what Ndamukong Suh does defensively for them?
Yeah, you have to. I mean, that guy can ruin a game. He does ruin it, so. Yeah, I mean, you got to know where he is on every play. You got to try to put your. I mean, look, some you can't not block him. He's right there in the middle of the defense, so somebody's got to block him. But you try to create the best angles, matchups, scheme that you can to try to, you know, help whatever, you know, whatever it is he's doing, which he's very disruptive. So he's a great football player. Tough guy to deal with. Got a you know, game plan for him, no question.
Spend a lot of time looking at what the corners do in pass defense, especially with guys like Tate and Johnson. But how important are the safeties over the top to kind of muddy up the way things look with Stafford or any other quarterback looks down the field, some of those weapons?
Yeah, everybody's important. It's team defense. Everybody's important. Rush is important. The coverage is important. Guys are in a deep part of the field. It's all important.
Well, it seemed like they ran offensively a lot of those kind of crossing pads with their receivers to try to pick or rub defenders. Is that something you guys were expecting coming into the game? Is it something?
Yeah, we see it every week. Yeah, see it every week. I mean, it got us early on Tate on a pick wheel play. Put them in tight, pick wheel them outside, cross them inside, pick them inside. We've been seeing it all year. So I'm sure we'll see it again next week too, many weeks after that. Tight splits. We got a lot of that today. We tried to give them a bunch of different looks. We were in some odd front, even front. Had some linebackers up inside. Tried to fake it some, just tried to keep them off balance. Thought the pass rush was, it's hard to get to them. They get the ball out quick. They got a lot of great receivers. So, he had to scramble out of there a couple times. And, that's always a challenge because he is very athletic. But I thought our pass rush was competitive. And our coverage was competitive. So, they made a few. We made a few. But... I thought we hung in there with them, and that's a good passing team with, a lot of skill, a lot of talent at the skill positions.
Bill, when it comes to anticipation for a defensive back, where would you put Darrell Revis, around among players that you've coached?
Revis is really good at his focus, concentration, technique, playing the ball. With his back to the ball or with his back not to the ball. He has a real good sense of timing and does a good job of, keeping his hands off the receivers when even though he's usually very close to him and when he's making a play on the ball, he does a good job of not getting very many penalties because he's good with that offhand and doesn't use it to, grab or pull or tug on the receiver. So, but he's very disciplined, he's very focused, he has great concentration.
All right, there's Bill Belichick after a 34-9 win today over the Lions at Gillette Stadium. He's just doing what's in the best interest of the team, trying to find ways to win, not going to say anything about the league trends, just going to tell you how it is for his team. And the last few weeks, I guess you could say they've been exploiting the matchups, which is what good teams do.
Yeah.
You play to the matchup. That's what you do in this sport.
And I actually think the last few weeks, as much as people always like to say, you never know what Bill's going to do and game plan, I think they have played to what laymen would say is the way to beat these teams and have successfully executed the layman game plan to beat these teams.
You know what I think a big part of that is? Having good players.
I agree with you 1,000%.
You know what that
playmakers.
Is?
Playmakers. We've talked about it for years.
That's called, let's focus less on scheming it up and let's focus more on having good players.
And we can do what we need to do because we have the players. We don't have to out-scheme anybody. Mm-hmm. You know what Revis does? He covers people. You know what Browner does? He covers people. You know what Gronk does? He gets open and catches balls. We don't have to outthink it.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But I also think they do it as well as anybody in terms of and I'm not trying to make as much out of it as the question seemed to indicate, but to run the ball 45 times one week and then throw it 53 times today, not every team really is capable of doing it that way. And it was every bit as easy to win the game both weeks. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like you threw the ball 53 times because you fell behind and you had to get back and scrap and claw your way back into the game. You threw the ball 53 times because that's what you wanted to do, and you were thoroughly in control of the game from midway through the second quarter on, and that was totally by design. And I don't think a lot of teams can do that.
Let's go back to the phones and talk to Gabriel in California.
Hello?
Hello. You're on the air.
What's up?
I got a question. What do you guys think about our running back, Julius Gray, not playing?
Jonas Gray.
Jonas Gray, and I think Bill did what he feels is best. Basically, I think there was a message sent. It was a bad week to be Jonas Gray because the combination of LeGarrette Blount joining the team and his missing practice on Friday made him stand on the sideline next to the coaching staff for a full 60 minutes. I don't think that means anything long term that his career is done or anything. I think it was a teachable moment for he and the rest of the team.
Couple of emails coming in here. As long as the Holy Trinity of Brady, Gronk, and Revis stay healthy, We are heading to Phoenix and winning the Super Bowl. The drive for four continues. That's from John.
Preach it, brother. We've been saying that at PFW since the preseason cover.
Yeah, I like it.
We may have said it a little less loudly in week four, but...
Yeah. Yeah, we started off saying it, then we were kind of whispering it. Now we're saying it again.
Right.
For anybody who wants to listen.
Charlotta writes in.
Oh, did we tell you?
What?
So no, before we get to Charlotta?
I'm not sure.
Apparently, in the Fox pregame, they did it. You keep looking around your little thing.
Well, because I can't see you just because you're telling me a story. I wanted to, you know, be respectful.
Eye contact.
Of you.
It's important.
Let's hear the story.
I'm going to watch the game now while I talk to you. No, just kidding. The pregame show, you know, Moss interviewed Brady. And somewhere in setting that up and everything, they were talking about how people were questioning the Patriots and Brady and everything. And they used Fred Kirsch's voice from our podcast saying, "Trade Brady! Belichick's done!" And he wasn't saying it. He was mocking people saying it at
and
the time.
And they used it as if it was real.
I right. don't know, because I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen the full context or out-of-context nature of it, but I just like that Fred's voice was on the Fox pregame show.
Unreal. Trade Brady, fire Belichick, one of those deals.
Unreal
and he was being sarcastic. He was making fun of the morons that say that.
I just want to hear it. So if anybody has a clip of that, can you send that in?
Send it over.
Your project this week, we don't need any memes. We need the audio of Fred Kirsch on Fox.
Send that. Webradio@patriots.com. Send us that email.
He made it, though. He arrived. He was part of the Fox pregame show.
Yeah. But he was misrepresented.
I don't care. That's his voice. That will always be his voice. Fred's gone national, baby.
One more email. Charlotta writes, "There were some points left out on the field for sure, but have mercy on anyone going up against Revis. And Browner played his best game yet. Let's not forget about Chung. Credit where credit's due. Sure, the backfield is better, so he benefits from that, and he's been healthy so far, but still, he's like a whole new player. I'm impressed with the balance of this team." Chad writes in, "Yo, guys, I thought that pancake hit by Jamie Collins on Megatron summarized the game. A physical and lopsided beating, but the team has to limit the penalties. It is the only element that prevents the Patriots from pulverizing their opponents. And can we please stop the hype about scary defenses?" Scary defenses in quotes. "Everyone should have learned the lesson by now after the blowout against the Texans in 2012. That's from Chad. Scary defense this week from the Lions. I still thought they played okay.
Oh, I don't think anybody said it was a scary defense.
I thought
though.
Their defense came as advertised. I really don't think the Patriots moved the ball the way they have been the last 5-6 weeks.
I didn't double.
But that's
a scary
okay
defense.
When it's, you know, the best defense in the NFL, so to speak.
But your defense today was scary.
Yes.
And that's why you won the game so easily.
I actually don't think either defense today was scary. To me, scary is when the Seahawks last year were at their best. Like, you couldn't breathe. They got to the ball before you. That was scary. Those are the defenses that you see, like, every 4 or 5. Because the Seahawks right now are no longer scary. They're not playing to that level either. I don't think there's a scary defense in football right now.
I thought the game could have unfolded a lot differently had the Patriots defense not played well early. Because
You
got a drive for a field goal to open the game, then a 3-and-out, then a 3-and-out. And instead of it being, you know, 10-0 or 14-0 or even 17-0, if the other team is moving the football, you came up with a couple of stops, and then eventually the Patriots got it going offensively. They went to the hurry up. That seemed to work late in the first quarter. But I didn't think it was the same way as it's been the last few weeks offensively, where you're just rolling.
No.
I mean, they were 27 points with 2 minutes left in the game. I mean, that's a good total. That's sort of an average total.
Mm-hmm.
They've been getting 43 every game, and they ended up with 34 today as the result of a penalty on a field goal in the with the game already over.
Dan in San Antonio writes, "If this win doesn't move New England back to first in the Wilson-Hart power rankings, I don't know what will."
I really wish Brady hadn't thrown that pick.
I was going to say, even in the turnover battle, right? I don't know. You're in trouble.
I'll let you know on Tuesday.
All right.
That's the beauty of the Wilson-Hart.
The defensive passer rating had to be really good. Isn't that big?
Ahem!
No?
Why don't we keep it's a proprietary formula.
It, but okay. I don't know what it is, so I'm just like throwing crap out there. You know it.
Passing is part of it, yes.
Passing is
scoring,
part of
turnovers,
formula.
They're all part of it in different ways. But yes, I think the Patriots have a good shot to rebound in the rankings, but to me that's the beauty of it. My name is on it, and I don't know until the numbers are run at the end of the weekend who's going to be number one.
But you helped devise the system.
Oh yeah, I created the system. Yeah, I got some consultants on it, but
okay. All right, very good. Good
but
to know.
I can't. You can't project it. You know, right?
Yeah. No.
There's games to be played.
Got to crunch the numbers.
Exactly.
Sill writes in, "Our secondary was ridiculous today. I can't believe a team with Calvin Johnson didn't score a touchdown. Browner is looking better than advertised, in my opinion. And I didn't really realize how big he was until he stood up next to Megatron.
Then you have no idea how he was advertised if you don't know how big he is. Because all he was advertised as was massive.
He's big. That's all we heard.
You also haven't watched any Detroit games this year because that's their offense. Yeah. They didn't score a touchdown last week either.
Good God, Miss Molly Sill.
Sill also writes, we're racking up so many quality wins that I might start looking for a room in Arizona.
Yeah, this
Knock
is...
Well, I would. Wood.
You know, this five-game stretch, they are 3-0 in now, and... They're just rolling.
Smoking.
We're probably not allowed to say this, but I've already reached out to someone within the organization who plans these types of things and said, I want tickets to the Katy Perry concert when we're in Arizona.
You would say that. You would want to go to the Katy Perry concert.
I like her music and I like her body. What could go wrong?
Is that like halftime show? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, but...
She's doing a concert as well.
I'm assuming she'll do a concert. She did like a concert in Indy and, you know, they're always around. Ooh, we should get her for the post-game party.
Suddenly, Indy's marriage is over.
Suddenly, I think I could get that free pass type thing.
For Katy Perry?
Oh, yeah. I think Deidre would let me.
She'd be down with that?
I don't know if down with it is right word.
She'd forgive you.
It's like if Orlando Bloom goes into her physical therapy place and, you know, it's Orlando Bloom. What do you want me to do?
I can't compete with that.
Exactly.
So,
I can't.
Have at it. All right. 855.
I'm not sure I care for the term have at it.
855 Pats 500. We have open lines. You want to jump on board and talk about this win today for the Patriots, where they're at, where they're going, all of the above. 855 Pats 500. When we come back, we're going to hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. That's next on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami.
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show is your source for immediate locker room reaction following every Patriots game. Hear exclusive live player interviews right from the New England locker room and all of the latest news and notes from the game. Join Mark, Paul, and Andy on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.
Welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart breaking down this win for the Pats as they move to 9-2.
Break it down, Beetle.
And we're going to break it down a little more. We're going to break it down a little more with Eric in New Jersey and get some of his thoughts from this game. What's up, Eric?
Hey, how we doing, fellas?
Doing well.
Eric!
So I got first of all, I want to definitely, I think, we said the Caps to the interior line. I think Brian Storrs, Rundle, and Conley, I think they definitely kept too quiet for the most of the game. And Ziggy, I think they kept, they definitely gave Brady a lot of chance to step up in that pocket and they gave him enough time to deliver. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I totally agree.
I thought it was an uphill battle for them, and I thought they met force with force. The one hiccup would be, and I know it was a screenplay, but you can't let Sue blow up Brady like that, even on a screenplay. You got to get an arm out or something to just stagnate him for a half a second so Brady can get rid of the ball. But more often than not, they were good enough in the middle.
I cracked a joke when that happened when
the quarterback went down and nearly died
right up in his face and took him hit him to the ground. I thought, if you were Tom Brady, would you have peed just a little bit in your pants seeing Ndamukong Suh taking free shots at you? Because if I were Tom Brady, I would have said, oh bleep.
And plus, with him, I mean,
that's
he's a little off his rocker,
he's just
too.
Dirty.
He's
dirty.
So it's not
just, nuts.
He's big, he's fast, he can hurt you and hit hard, but he could also do something you don't see coming because it's totally dirty and unwarranted.
Right. It's a complete unknown there.
Yes.
Complete unknown. It's
got
the wild,
crazy
wild
eyes.
West with him on the field. You never know where that's going to go. Gear up for the season and shop the Patriots Pro Shop for the widest selection of jerseys, hats, tees, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, and Pro Shop Collection at Patriot Place are open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Let's get to Tom Brady. Here's what the quarterback had to say after this win today over the Lions. Patriots now 9-2 on the year. Here's TB12.
How you doing?
Hey, Tom, what does it say about this team that you could run for 250 yards 1 week and throw 55 times in that 2 week and the results pretty much the same, a lot of points in victory?
Yeah, we did a decent job, so it was good to, I thought we got to a good start and then play from ahead, and then
struggled a little bit there in the third quarter, but rallied there in the fourth. So it was a good win. I thought a lot of guys made a lot of great plays. You know, we didn't, you know, some penalties really held us back from being a little bit more consistent, but it was a good game. Whatever it takes, you know, we're going to try to figure out whatever it takes.
Do you go to these games thinking that you have a competitive advantage in the areas of coaching and preparation?
You know, we get great coaching, we get great preparation. So, you know, this is the only place I've ever been, so I don't know really how it goes in the other places. But I know as players, we always feel very prepared. We work hard at it all week, and, you know, we get one chance to go out and do it and execute it a week. So it's fun when we win.
Tom, it's good to see LeGarrette Blount back out there for you, doing what he does, getting in the end zone a couple times.
Yeah, made some really great runs, and, you know, he's a big guy, he runs hard. And, you know, once he breaks through the defense, he got a little bit of explosion. So it was great to see on a couple of those big runs. And, you know, we're going to need a lot more of it.
Is your mind already on the Packers?
I'll let this one settle in for a little bit, and then I'm sure tonight I'll be getting after it. So they're, you know, a great football team. We played a lot of those, it seems, lately. And, you know, they're the next one on the schedule. So it would be a great challenge for us.
Tom, seeing you guys wanted to get the ball out fast, spread them out, and get it fast today against this defense. Is that what you want to do going in?
Yeah, we took some shots down the field that we didn't come up with. I wish we would have hit, but we had some good ball possession type passes, and you know, we hit a few good runs, and you know, didn't really make too many big plays. So, you know, wish we could have done a better job of that.
How does Tim Wright always get open in the end zone?
I know. We ask ourselves the same thing. It's every time we throw to him, it's a touchdown. So try to find him more often down there. But he does a great job in the coverage and finds the open spots, makes the plays. So it was a big day for that.
Can you feel for a guy like Jonas Gray who had to stand and watch this game?
Yeah, I know. You know, it's, yeah. Not much comment on that. I love everyone when everyone's out there contributing, so. That's you know, usually the way that I love it the most. So hopefully he's out there next week.
I know you're focused on their defense, but watching you feel a good charge out of watching your own defense out there. What they've been doing these last 3 weeks, three pretty good teams.
Yeah, they're playing great. They it's amazing what they're able to do. You know, with another team's passing game and, you know, shut the run down and you know, really kind of suffocate the pass game. We see in practice, so I'm glad some other people have to go against it too, but they're, you know, they got real good cover guys, a good scheme. They're athletic, and you know, they played great today.
What do you think of the way that Josh just comes up with a different game plan every week? Does it keep you guessing almost what we're going to do this week? You know?
Yeah, Josh the best, man. Josh the best. You know, he's so smart, gets us all prepared. You know, he's a great coach. Lucky to have him.
The special teams tell me spark this team. It's not Amendola, it's Edelman, from one guy to the next.
Yeah. Danny made a phenomenal run there on the kick return, and that really did spark us. We, you know, we didn't have a lot going there, and then he made that huge play, so got us a short field. And, you know, Jules had a great punt return that got called back. I mean, that would have been incredible. But, you know, those guys are both dangerous with the ball in their hands. And, you know, this is a time of year where a kicking game really comes into play. You get, you know, not necessarily today, but, you know, if the weather plays a factor in the kicking game and you get some miss kicks and you get some good returns and good opportunities, and those guys do a great job when they get it. So it's been fun to see.
Tony, with that, how this kind of being the toughest stretch of the season that you're getting into, but when you see that balance on offense and you're able to distribute the ball to so many different receivers, how much of a difference does that make?
Well, it's great when we can spread it around to different guys, and you know, makes us tough to defend. I thought we did a, you know, good job of that, you know, trying to find our matchups and making the plays. So there's a lot of guys that are making plays out there. You know, Gronk, Tim, Jules, JoJo. We got a lot of guys that are contributing, so it's a lot of fun.
Today, with Veterans Appreciation Day, did that make this win that much more special, knowing that there are a lot of military servicemen and women in the audience?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been a fun, you know, couple games. You know, thanking a lot of the guys that have come out to the men and women who have served. It's a you know, those people, what they've sacrificed for us is incredible. And you know, Coach Belichick has a long history with the Navy, and you know, he keeps us really well schooled on You know, Veterans Day and Memorial Day, and obviously the last two games. So, you know, we're very appreciative, very thankful. Thanks, guys. Oh, go ahead.
You were asked about coaching in preparation and this team's understanding of complementary football. And today, the offense started more slowly than usual to play. The defense relies on the pass breakup, they limit them to the field goal early. Then Wyatt makes a play on a short hop snap, to really flip the field goal on a beautiful punt. How much of a sense of appreciation do you have, knowing that you guys will eventually find your stride offensively, but knowing that the other two units complement what you have to do?
Well, there, you know, everyone is linked together, so, you know, we all feed off of each other, and you know, offense, defense, special teams, you need those big plays, and we talk about situational football and complementary football quite a bit, and it's exactly what you said. It's when you're down and out on offense, the defense does some things to spark it. Special teams takes advantage of it, makes a play, and then offensively we, you know, finally get some momentum based on what they've done for us, so... That's a very important thing, and you know, we found ways to do that. It's helped us score some points, and you know, we're going to need that here coming up. Thank you, guys.
And there you have it, Tom Brady talking about his game today. Wow, that was a long question there from Bob Sosi at the end of the game, talking punts with Tom Brady.
Well, why are you going to do that?
Because I love Bob, and I'm just...
He's a hardworking man. How many other play-by-play guys come down to the post-game press conference and ask questions?
Very few, but he's not just a play-by-play man.
He's the hardest working man in your company.
In the whole company?
I'm saying to the guy who works 7 days a week.
In the whole company. He's the guy. No, Tom Brady there with some interesting stuff after the game, including
yes,
something we're going to replay for you in a second. But about that punt early in the game, which was a great punt. Here's an email that came into us, webradio@patriots.com. Hey, guys, my nomination for play of the game was Ryan Allen's punt for something like 66 yards. It is 66 yards.
It's dead on. Not something like. It is.
That was Shane Donaldson-like.
If he hadn't,
he had about 72 yards.
If he hadn't made that heroic punt, I love that. Heroic. The Lions would have obviously started with better field position, maybe would have scored, and things could have been different, and it could have been a completely different game. Keep up the good work. Looking forward to attending Patriots at Packers next week. Not bad for a first ever NFL game, huh? Take it easy. That's from Christian in Appleton, Wisconsin.
And the email is Ryan Allen's brother at hotmail.com.
I'll let this one settle in for a little bit, and then I'm sure tonight I'll be getting after it.
Tom Brady there. What does he mean by getting after it?
This one settle in for a little bit, and then I'm sure tonight.
You know what he means.
What's he indulging in?
For a little bit,
gets
and then
after
I'm sure
it.
Tonight I'll be getting after it.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Tonight I'll be getting after it. Tonight I'll be getting after it. Tonight I'll be getting after it.
Kevin's actually doing a really good job on this right
nice
now.
Nice job, Kev.
That's a rarity, but you're doing a fine job back there. Where'd you get that hat? Did you get one?
Patriots Pro Shop.
Did you get one for Andy?
I bought it.
Oh, you did? Forget it.
just curious what he's going to be doing when he gets after it later on. Is that like
tonight
going
to get after it?
Yeah, going to have a couple beers with his buddies.
He's going
on
to
the
be
team,
studying
or
the Green Bay Packers defense.
Or
and the way they utilize Clay Matthews.
Yeah.
A lot of ways, by the way. Inside, outside.
Inside, outside.
But that's for a pregame show on another day.
How's he going to get after him? Getting after it. Yeah.
He's going to figure out.
Any second now, we'll see the Tom and Giselle Instagram or Facebook post that they seem to be putting up.
Oh,
after
the
every
post game, like in the parking
right?
lot
like,
or something.
He's going to hit the parking lot any minute
well, I don't
now.
Think she was
well, they
here
did
today?
Put something up with, I think, Vivian. That's the daughter's name, right?
Yeah,
Vivian?
So I'm assuming
she
wasn't
was, like,
here
watching
today.
The game. Yeah, it didn't look like
she
Giselle was
I
here.
Think Giselle was at home with the girl, the young girl, watching.
Oh, so they weren't here.
They put something
she
up on Instagram.
She tweeted out
they put
an Instagram
TV.
Photo of her, of Vivian watching a really nice TV in a
getting
really nice
it.
Home.
I bet they have an awesome TV.
It had like one of those like Sonos sound bars underneath cool. it and everything. You'd think. I mean, they make about $70 million a year combined.
Getting
so.
After it. Getting after it.
Seriously,
it's always the
can
people
you move
that,
on?
You know, and it's always the people like them that get all kinds of stuff for free.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The people who need it the least get all the stuff for free. So he's
it is what it is.
Sweet TV.
But see, what we miss on is if you ever sent out a photo of you with your kids watching TV, mm-hmm. people would say, okay, whatever. these people would say, oh, Brady's got a Samsung. Oh, that must be the best TV. I'll go buy a Samsung because Brady has a, like, they actually get value of there's a linking themselves to a celebrity.
Right.
There's brand value.
You raise a good point.
Linking themselves to you, useless. No offense.
There's been a number of brands that have linked themselves to me, Andy, just so you know.
Name three.
I can't because it would conflict with some brands here, so I'm going to stay away from that.
FanDuel.
That's one of them.
DraftKings is where we're at, baby.
Yeah, I hear that about you.
Enter
guys.
The promo code PFW, you get a free play.
Want to remind you that the Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. NFL coaches and players across the league use their Surface tablets to influence the next big play call. And with a Surface tablet at home, you can do the same in your fantasy league. Surface, trusted by the NFL, built for the fans. Do more. We know Bill Belichick likes his Surface. He's all over that thing, using the tablets all the time. By the way, we got an email that Paul's going to want to hear about right here. Came from Mark and Winthrop. He writes, hey, guys, not only was Fred's voice featured in the Brady interview, but Paul was, too.
That's great.
Here was the quote used. Brady is part of the problem. End quote. It could be heard after Fred. And the segment was on Fox Sports and YouTube, but it's not edited the way it was on TV. So the online video doesn't feature those comments.
Oh.
Because they shortened it up.
Somebody could find it.
It cut you out.
Somebody DVR'd
perhaps
the game.
Perhaps that's for the best.
Yeah, perhaps.
No, somebody DVR'd the game, and
no,
I'll be able
I
to
know.
Hear it.
I know.
But it like wasn't a part of the game. It was in the pregame. Yeah. So if it was set, if you set your DVR to record the game.
Yeah, but everybody DVRs everything in this day and age.
Someone's got it out there.
Yeah.
Someone must have it.
Like the honks like you and Jerry Thornton who
do people
oh,
really?
they're doing a Brady interview. I got to watch that.
Do people tape that?
I don't even tape the game. I use NFL Rewind.
Me too.
Oh, you're so
clever. I don't tape the game anymore.
You do, Andy? You do NFL Rewind, huh?
On Tuesdays, yeah.
Yeah?
Well, the game will go up tomorrow.
Why are you mocking me?
Tomorrow. It'll go up late
you've
tonight.
Done like one.
Once Sunday Night Football's over, you can access the game.
I'm
and then you
Paul
can access
and
it.
Awesome.
You can access it until Monday Night Football begins, and then they black you out during Monday Night Football. But
oh, really?
Yeah, it goes up. Like tonight after Sunday Night Football, it'll be up.
But you can't watch it during Monday Night Football?
Right.
While there's
during,
a live NFL
yeah,
game.
When there's
they won't
live
let you
NFL
watch.
Games oh. going on, you can't use it.
Interesting.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So you can get up tomorrow. I usually get up on Monday mornings and watch the game again.
Okay.
On NFL Rewind. It's a good little trick.
So you can look at that Patrick Chung block in the
back. I know. I'm going to go back and watch that because I know I'm wrong. I've got the reaction to it telling me how wrong I am means I'm absolutely wrong. Jeez, I have to look at this thing again. I know I'm wrong at this point. I haven't even convinced myself of it yet. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. Let's go to Courtney in Houston. Hi, Courtney.
How you doing, guys?
Doing well. What's up?
Not what I expected.
Nothing much. I just, you know, one thing that I was calling in today and talk about is, you know, just as an overall team, I'm kind of watching the Broncos game now. And one thing I've always noticed is that, in my opinion, the Pats have been really a kind of a finesse pass team and dink and dunk and things like that. But it just seems like this year, even on defense, they're more physical and fast. You know, I compare them to Seattle last year where they were just fast and just like all over the place. But it seems like this attitude, like, I guess it's Brandon Brown or I don't know if it's, you know, whatever, but it just seems like from play call to everything, they just seem to be a lot more aggressive this year. And the eye test really just tells me that they're really the best defense out there. Well, I'll say the most well-rounded defense, in my opinion.
I think they're a good defense, and I agree with you. I think they have an air, an edge, an aggressiveness, back end, front end. You know, I've given Patricia some of the credit for more twists, and they worked a lot in the summer on A-gap blitzes by some of the linebackers with Collins and Mayo. I think they are a little different than they've been in past years. I don't know if they're, you know, the best defense in football. I wouldn't say that now, but I do think they're a hell of a lot better than they've been for a hell of a long time in here in New England. They're a hell of a lot more fun to watch than they've been in a long time.
Yeah, I agree. I have one more question for you guys, and I'll let you guys go. So who are you guys more impressed with, I'll say, as far as the growth of the offense this year or maybe the turnaround of the defense compared to previous years?
I think the defense, because the offense is sort of what we've seen with Gronkowski. When Gronkowski's been part of it, there's other contributors, but when Gronkowski's been part of it, they've been a really good offense. That's what they were sort of at this point last year. This defense, we have seen Revis bring something to this defense along with Browner that they haven't had in quite some time.
Courtney, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll return, get to more of your emails, more of your thoughts on this game. Patriots with a win. They're now 9-2 atop the AFC. We'll talk more about the game with you coming up next.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Got a question for Beadle? Call him on the Ace Ticket hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show and your host, Mark Bertrand.
Whatever happened to those things we used to have? I don't know what they're called in the radio industry, though.
The liners. Yeah.
We're saying,
I listen to Paul and Andy.
Yeah, I like those. How come we don't have those anymore?
We need some new ones.
Part of the problem is most of the locker rooms are when I'm in here.
Oh, yeah. That's a problem for us, too, I've noticed.
It's a problem for all of us.
Fine with me.
It's not a problem for Paul.
Well, Sean Ellis did not like Paul's last name.
He struggled.
This is Sean Ellis. Who's that Paul Pierriello guy?
I don't think we need to be making fun of Sean Ellis, in case he's listening. That's Kevin Collins. You can find him here in this radio studio.
Well, it's because he was trying to do the liner with a huge wad of chew in his mouth. That was my problem.
We can stick to first names. The first names here are easy. Mark, Paul, Andy.
Yeah. Because we're taking this show big time. Mark has plans for us.
So we should just, you know.
He says we have chemistry.
We do. We have chemistry here.
So where are you taking us? Serious?
All I can say is please take me with you.
We're going to have a simulcast.
I can't promise
that.
That's
what we're going to do. We need a simulcast. They got cameras in here, so we might as well turn them on. That's what I'm saying, Andy.
Well, where are you going to put us on?
I don't know. We're sorting that out.
Nessun could use programming, and they could certainly use a boost in their football coverage, baby.
We're sorting it out. We're going to work on that for you.
Doug Kide on line two.
Doug, I think you do a fine job. I meant in addition to what you do.
Let's go to the emails.
Did you post already?
Yes.
Wow. This emailer writes in, hey guys.
I was given a goal. And when someone gives me a goal, I shoot for the goal.
Emailer writes in, hey guys, I was just wondering when you guys think I'll be on the field. Which happens first? Peyton retires or I catch another touchdown? P.S. Bill is saving me for the playoffs. Andy, you, sir, are an ass. I'm not going down Taylor Price way. Thanks. Aaron Dobson on the bench.
Well, Aaron, I apologize, but, you know, you're inactive every week. You're a healthy scratch. You're to the point where I didn't include you in the notable healthy scratches or anything because it's not really notable. And what was the who will do what first? I missed it.
He wrote, what happens first? Peyton retires or I catch another touchdown.
I am going to go, you catch another touchdown. There'll be an injury or something at some point. He'll come in. I mean, like we saw from LaFell. A guy dives, gets hurt. All of a sudden, we need Dobson the next week.
Another email. Liam from Philly writes.
Liam!
I just wanted to note how well our offensive line played in this game. I love Stork, no matter how mean he is to Andy. I don't know if you noticed how when they break the huddle, he spins around with so much energy.
I like Stork on the field. I think he is a good young center on the field, and I think he's a positive factor in the middle of the offensive line. Off the field, I think he's a dink.
He writes, I love it. Sorry, Andy, but I don't care if he's a jerk. I'm a fan.
Wait, no, I don't either.
I don't care if he's a jerk either, as long as he plays.
I can differentiate the two.
I didn't know this story. What's your deal with Stork?
He's just not a nice man to speak with.
Really?
Yeah, no, very, very gruff, short, curt, rude, just dismissive. Yeah, I don't have time for him.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, I have time for him on the field because I think he's been a good addition to the middle of that offensive line. As I said earlier, they have three centers out there playing, and I think they have Ryan Wendell, same thing.
Where did Stork go to school?
Florida State.
That's what I thought.
DBU.
That's what I was thinking. I didn't want to say Florida State and be wrong. I wanted to confirm that, but there you go.
Doesn't your Saturday co-host hail from there?
He didn't go there.
Oh, he didn't? He's just a fan?
That's a team that he's a fan of. He's rooted for Florida State since he was a kid.
Good for him.
And he does not like James Winston one bit.
He actually went to BU.
He went to BU.
I didn't know that.
Really?
He did.
I don't know if you know this,
but they hate him there, too.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was telling this story on the air yesterday.
Who else hates him? They hate him there, too.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. But
I don't hate him.
I like Chris.
I mock him, but I don't hate him.
I went to a BU hockey game Friday night. They're taking on Maine, just a random BU hockey game. I got stopped by an alum who, freaked out on me about a column Gaspard written about Jack Parker, a couple of years ago.
Oh, I know the column.
Right? And
he's dead on.
He was irate. irate. Screaming at me as if I wrote the column. I'm like, I didn't write the column.
Right.
I don't give a crap about the column.
Because I do a show with him. Right. Don't like, think I mean, we're like mean, tied together at the hip.
Him. Like, take it up with him. Don't take it up with me.
So he learned all those big words at BU, huh?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Interesting.
You would have thought he went to BC with words like those.
There's another one that probably kills him that I went to the same school.
Yeah. Eric, Paul, and Gasper. Those three all went to
Eric
the same school.
Eric went there?
Two came out pompous right.
I'm an idiot.
I don't know that BU is pretentious enough for someone like Eric.
Oh, yes, it is.
Is it?
BU?
But everyone sees right through the BU pretentiousness. Like, yeah, you're still BU. Relax. You know, you're not Harvard.
I would agree with that, but right? That's what they think.
You're not Harvard. Relax over there, BU. All right. Back to the emails. Liam from North Carolina.
Seventh straight win.
Seven.
Like, you just look at that, and remember everybody. There were actually people. First of all, idiots in this room said, losable, losable, losable. Oh, that's not losable. Losable, losable. We had like 9 of the next 12 as losable. And we talked
they
about,
lost any of them.
You know, could you go 2-4? You know, if you go 2-4 in the 6-game stretch, could you get by with that? Do you have to go 3-3? Well, how about you just win them all? Cause that's where they're on the road to.
I agree.
Worst they
that's
can
where
do.
They're going.
Worst they can do, Paul, is 4-2 in that 6-game stretch.
Okay, so now, Andy, based on what we know now about the team and seeing the 7-game stretch, we're talking about them potentially being in the Super Bowl.
Correct.
Right? So if they lose in the first round of the first playoff game, will we then beat ourselves up over them not getting to the Super Bowl?
It depends how and who.
Well, I'm just saying, we only have the
why
information.
Why do we have to worry about
time.
How we're going to react if and when they get knocked out of the playoffs?
He brought it up. I mean, he's saying, it was ridiculous that we thought there were games that were losable. Based on what we had seen from the team,
I don't think he said he thought it was ridiculous.
Reason.
Did you say it was ridiculous?
No,
I didn't really take it that way.
I tongue-in-cheek said idiots in this room, we had 9 of 12 as losable.
That's what I'm saying. He's calling me an idiot for
tongue-in-cheek.
It was completely reasonable.
Well, he was calling the people in this room, like himself,
all three of us,
kind of included in it.
All right.
Because we did it as a group, if you remember.
Okay.
We went down this.
Hey,
he's getting very defensive over here.
Slow your roll over there. Relax.
I see why Felger has trouble working with him.
He's tough to work with.
Let me get back to the emails that I was about to read, including this one from...
I wanted to get in on the ass-kicking.
One of our favorites, Liam from North Carolina. Big shout-out to the PFW Elite.
Preamble the J.
Remember.
I was going to say...
The Alamo.
Remember the Alamo.
And big shout-out to the Pats D. There were some BS calls both ways, but in the end, our defense looked top-notch by a show of hands. Who thought at the beginning of the season that LaFell and Blunt would factor into a big win in the second half of the season? Hopefully Gray learned his lesson, but glad to have two big backs that can get some tough yards and glad to have Blunt back. Go Pats! Bleep the Jets. Eric is a DB. Liam in North Carolina.
Did he mean somebody else other than LaFell? Because I think you should have thought LaFell would contribute to
it. Yeah, I mean, I can't lie and say I knew LaFell, but Blunt was coming back.
Okay, but based on the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't great.
First month of the season, you looked at LaFell and thought, there's another free agent signing that's not going to reach its, what we thought would be the potential.
And he said he was overwhelmed by the offense.
And so when you hear those things, you think, no. And you know what?
Yeah, I guess.
He's found his way. He's probably no longer overwhelmed, and he's looked great. So
speaking of looking great.
Yeah. Looking great. Mm.
Got a holiday weather report in Fox 25 if you're at home.
So about them holidays. 8551, Paul.
Giving thanks for her assets.
Good one. That's good one.
That goes good. This is why we get in trouble.
That's a good joke, Andy. Not going to lie. I liked it. All right, Mark.
I can even derail the professionals. Mark, it's amazing Fred has made it this long throughout the week.
Mark at Fall River writes, hey, guys, the game seemed like it was over early. Stafford slide was an example of the types of things they need to get straightened out before they are considered a very good team. I was impressed with Browner on Johnson today. If you told me he would be matched up on him, even with help, I would have been nervous. But he held his own, had the penalty, but the couple catches that he gave up were very good plays. Yeah,
and by the time he got the penalty, the game was over.
Right, it was garbage time. Mark in Fall River with some of his good thoughts on this. Gary was on earlier. He doesn't understand why we hung up on him. Didn't realize that you gave him praise. I think he's talking about Browner. Gary. It was after like 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, we didn't hang up on you because of that.
Hung up on you. The calls do come to an end. I do apologize that most of the time the way the call ends is you hear the click on the other end.
Well, they're not used to it because Fred sometimes waits for them to say, all right, guys, I got to let you go.
Yeah, no. See, we've got a lot of calls here in the postgame.
We do, and we got to pound through them.
And we got to move it along.
We get a lot of emails.
See, that's the thing.
You think we didn't get a lot of calls
during the course of the week, but we do. But for some reason, Fred just lets them talk forever.
Well, you can't do that. You got to move it along. It's unfair to everyone else who's trying to get on.
But I want to recap. You know, they say in radio you don't do 4 hours, you do 4 one-hour shows. I just want to recap. Brandon Browner played his best game as a Patriot. So everybody can hear it in case you didn't hear the beginning. Brandon Browner was instrumental today in this victory for a defense that was instrumental in this victory. And I'm looking at things of being positive moving forward. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt that he's rounding into midseason form after missing the first month plus.
He was excellent. Excellent today. I want to just add that in just in case someone says that one person said it, the other person didn't. He could not have been better today. And I agree with that last email. I would have been very afraid that he was locked up on Calvin Johnson, and he more than held his own.
Eric writes in, while Pats fans are understandably excited, let's not overlook the fact that Lions receivers and tight ends dropped a number of very catchable passes.
Yes, they did.
Including a couple in the end zone. If those were caught, the outcome of the game could have been much different or at least much closer. Yeah. Thanks. Eric in San Francisco.
Could have been closer, but not different.
And that's what he's saying. Not to be confused.
But guess what? That's what they've been doing all year. They don't put up points.
And I do, listen, I thought the Jeremy Ross flat out drop in the end zone.
Andy now at 6:15 at night is saying, that's what the Detroit Lions are. They don't put up points. But I say I don't trust their offense, and I think this is going to be one of those games that the Patriots win easily.
And I was
criticized in the pregame show today by Andy.
No, I think you were just looking past the Lions a little bit.
We should have all known that.
Well, I think the Patriots avoided being in the dogfight. I think they did a good job. I think they got some plays. I think that kick return and that punt were instrumental in ensuring they didn't get into a dogfight.
Just saying, that offense doesn't impress me.
And now you get it.
But Paul has once taught me, and I've always remembered.
Was it a trap game, Andy?
No.
Okay.
I don't think it was a trap game. I don't think a home, best defense, blah, 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 not a trap game. But 7-3. If you can't score touchdowns, you can't beat the Patriots. That is very simple.
I don't know why you keep making fun of me about that.
No! I'm giving you credit.
But you
it's
make
like
it
Bill
sound like
credits
I...
Paul Brown for the forward pass.
But you make it sound like I like invented something.
You can't. No, here's what I do agree with. You can't beat the Patriots in Foxborough kicking field goals. You cannot do that.
Correct.
And so, you know, I know early on you're going to take 3 points and move along, but in the second half of that game,
oh yeah,
and especially late, kicking field goals to get 9 on the board, what the hell are you doing?
Well,
Caldwell sucks.
I thought it was ridiculous.
Let's be honest about it.
I thought it was ridiculous that he kicked the field goal to make it 9, whatever it was, 27-9 at the time, probably. But that was largely irrelevant because if they had gone for it and made it, it still wouldn't have mattered. But the one that was the crusher was the second field goal. You have first and goal at the 4. You get the hold on Chung in the end zone to put the ball at the 2, and you don't get in. You just can't. You can't have that.
It's the Xbox One postgame show on Patriots.com. Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. NFL coaches and players across the league use their Surface tablets to influence the next big play call. And with a Surface tablet at home, you can do the same in your fantasy league. Surface, trusted by the NFL. Built for the fans. Do more. All right, next one up is on the road for the Patriots against the Green Bay Packers next week.
We're on to Green Bay.
This should be a really good game. From an entertainment standpoint, this one should be a lot better than what we saw this week.
Yes, you have Hall of Fame quarterbacks going at it. Two of the, I think the Patriots with this effort may pass the Packers, number one offense, but two of the highest scoring offenses in football. It's on the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. I know Paul doesn't like weather games, but it might be a little chilly. Might be a little interesting. Should be fun.
I don't like when the weather decides.
Sure tonight I'll be getting after it.
Get after it.
I hope Brady doesn't get after it too much tonight.
Tonight I'll be getting after it.
We need those legs strong for next week.
Tonight I'll be getting after it.
And then it's on to Green Bay. On to Green Bay next week. I'm excited about this game. I think a lot of people are. A lot of Pats fans going out there for that game.
It's historic Lambeau. If you're going to make a road trip, I believe there will be a big group. Check Patriots.com fan registry. Barry Inseong putting everything together.
And, of course, we will be here pre and post.
Hell yeah.
We got a 4:25 kickoff in that game?
Yes, we do.
So what time is the PPGS going to be? 2? 2 o'clock.
Thumbs up from Kevin. 2 o'clock next Sunday. The Patriots look to win 8 in a row. 8.
Getting after it.
2 o'clock PPGS next Sunday as we get ready for Patriots Packers. Join us then. For Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, I'm Mark Bertrand. Talk again soon.
be getting after it.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Out of the I formation with Devlin, the fullback for Ridley, who takes the handoff, started up the middle, runs it right. A foot race to the five. Ridley's going to win it to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Next Sunday, the Patriots are in Green Bay to take on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Kickoff is set for 4:25 p.m. Be sure to log on to Patriots.com to tune in to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand immediately following the game.
Brady with a check with me on a 3rd and 4 from the 10. Brady in the pocket, has time to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Edelman has it!
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.